listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. I'm recording today's episode on my 59th birthday. To mark that occasion, the title of today's episode is Age is Relative, and boy, do I have some old relatives. Relativity in life and in the martial arts. I have always wanted to go to a restaurant with a group of friends and be the first one to order, and then order the same. I'll have the same, please. I wonder what they would bring me. What would the same look and taste like? This is the same. I'd like more of the same, please. This sounds silly because there's nothing for the word same to relate to. There's no relationship between it and another word. The word same is just one example of a word or concept, or for that matter, martial arts technique that is meaningless out of context. In the martial arts, people frequently execute techniques for the wrong reason. There are many techniques that only have meaning when related to other techniques, such as escapes, counters, disengages, or trapping techniques. Have you ever found yourself just throwing techniques in an arbitrary way, just flinging out whatever came to mind in the hopes that it would land? In fencing, I call this poking and hoping. Maybe you've seen others do this. One thing such a fighter lacks is context, or to put it the way they do in physics, a frame of reference. As I frequently point out, our quirky human brains hate dealing with nuance and complexity. A classic example of this is our tendency to think in absolute terms and not in relative terms. Accumulating enough knowledge and wisdom in order to fashion workable frames of reference goes against the grain for many of us. Let's look at some examples of this complexity in our real universe. Even motion, the very essence of the martial arts, is only meaningful within a frame of reference. Imagine you are standing in the back of a moving pickup truck, a practice I don't recommend, by the way. The truck is traveling at 60 miles an hour. It has no tailgate. If you were to jump straight up as high as you could, where would you come down? Would the truck roll out from under you, leaving you to land on the road? That idea seems intuitive, but it's wrong. Because you were on the moving truck before jumping, you were also traveling at 60 miles an hour. Your jump will not significantly slow your forward speed, and as a result, you will land in the bed of the truck pretty much on the spot from which you jumped. So in the frame of reference of the truck, you were not moving. But in the frame of reference of planet Earth, you were traveling 60 miles an hour. So in the hard-headed default mental setting of most people, this can cause confusion. Now you can't be standing still and moving at the same time. Now that's just common sense. It may be common sense, but it's wrong. For all but the few of us on the International Space Station, the most common frame of reference is our planet Earth. When you move around under your own power, you are moving in relation to the Earth. The concepts of up and down have no meaning without Earth's gravitational pull. North, south, east, and west also would have little meaning if you were to find yourself in the depths of space, unless you reassign them to a new set of reference points. All motion is relative. The surface of the Earth, at the equator, travels at about 1,000 miles an hour as the planet rotates. Assuming you are standing on that equator, or in a building attached to it, you would also be traveling that fast in relation to the Earth's axis. Why don't we feel that speed? Well, here's something you might not have known. You never feel speed. More accurately, you never feel velocity. You feel changes in velocity. That means acceleration, deceleration, or turning. That's why you feel pushed back into your seat when your car is accelerating hard, or feel thrown to the side when the car makes a sudden turn, but feel perfectly still when going down the highway on cruise control at 75 miles an hour. Your car could be going 2,000 miles an hour, assuming it was capable of that, and if it was not accelerating, you would feel as if you were sitting still. The Earth's rotational velocity has not appreciably changed since our species came into being, so you don't feel the rotational speed of the Earth either. But trust me, evidence shows it's there. If the rotation were to suddenly stop, you would find yourself suddenly flying at close to 1,000 miles an hour, just above the Earth's surface. But of course, you, anyone else, and any structure nearby would not long survive the experience. The Earth itself is traveling around the Sun at about 67,000 miles an hour. And as a result, so are you. You, the Earth, and the Sun travel around the supermassive black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy at about 500,000 miles an hour. The Milky Way galaxy travels through space at about 2 million miles per hour. Yet we never feel any of these amazing velocities. Even the rate at which time goes by is not absolute, but is relative and contextual. First, time goes by slower for a person or object that is moving than it does for a person or object that is stationary in relation to the moving person or object. I know, that's quite a mouthful. This was first explained about a century ago when Einstein unveiled his theory of special relativity. I know this sounds crazy, but overwhelming real-world evidence bears it out. It's just that at the speeds that we normally experience, the difference is far too small to make a difference, or even to notice. But, take for example the satellites that our GPS system uses, which orbit the Earth at about 10,000 miles an hour. Part of what makes the GPS system work is the accuracy of the clocks on the satellites and the accuracy of the clocks on the ground with which they sync. Those clocks would not be sufficiently accurate for a functioning GPS system had not the engineers that designed the satellites programmed in adjustments for the fact that time passes slower for the clocks on the satellites than the corresponding clocks here on Earth due to their orbital speed. By using Einstein's formula, they were easily able to adjust for this. Gravity also affects the passage of time. This was also explained by Einstein in his other theory of relativity, the theory of general relativity. This effect has been demonstrated recently by placing two identical, very modern, super-accurate clocks in the same room, with one clock 6 feet above the other, that is, 6 feet farther from the Earth. That means that there was a 6-foot difference in the amount of gravity experienced by the higher clock compared to the lower one. The two clocks kept different time, precisely in the amount predicted by Einstein's equations for being separated by a mere 6 feet in Earth's gravity well. Our GPS system is also designed to compensate for this effect as well. So, there's no such thing as absolute speed, absolute movement, or absolute time. They only exist in any meaningful sense when they are considered relative to other objects. I mentioned earlier one way this subject applies to the martial arts, but there are many more. For example, if you have a very limited game in whatever form of martial arts you practice, the concept of relativity helps point out the weakness. Let's say that you rely heavily on an attribute like strength or speed. Well, unless you are the strongest fighter in the world, your strength is not absolute. It's relative. That means that your strength-based game will most likely fail if you run into an opponent who is stronger than you. The same applies to relying on speed. You can usually improve strength and speed through training, but only to a certain point. As I mentioned earlier, any given technique is usually meaningless, out of context. The simple fact that you know how to throw a Muay Thai round kick, taken in isolation and out of context, doesn't mean much more than that you can hit a heavy bag or a pair of tie pads with it. To learn how to create an opening in a competent opponent's defenses, or to understand how your opponent is trying to do that to you, requires that you develop enough martial arts knowledge to understand context. You can continue to improve your trickiness, in other words, your tactical knowledge and ability, much longer than you can your speed and strength, even through the years when your strength or speed begin to decline. Never decide that you know enough. Continue to broaden your martial arts frame of reference by finding good teachers and training with them. The more you know, the less you are limited by relativity. Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of The Martial Brain at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.